You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Puma's going to join us here in a minute here on ESPN 97.5. Did a great job last night on the broadcast.
Yeah, he really did. He didn't mention us, unfortunately, so I'd give it a B.
Well, how did he get the Puma nickname? Oh, that's right.
Well, being nimble and fast on this show, and explosive.
That's right. On this show.
Yeah, if he didn't mention us, I would have given him a B. I would have given him probably an A. As it stands, I give him a B for last night's performance. He didn't mention us.
I thought he was excellent for a former high school baseball coach.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A state runner-up.
And center fielder.
And is he up?
Yeah.
Lance Berkman joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. What's up?
What's going on, fellas?
Man.
Same as usual, I see from y'all.
Same old, same stuff.
It's good to know some things don't change.
That's right. You know, we're not going to change. And we noticed you didn't change. You were just sitting there telling stories last night. Well, how'd you enjoy it?
Oh, it was great. I had a good time. And, you know, TK is the best. He's really easy to work with. I just kind of followed along with what he was doing.
It's just like being with us, professionals, right?
Exactly. Without the sarcasm and the backhanded compliments and that sort of thing.
And misinformation.
That
you'll get here.
There was a running text. My buddy Chris Solis, it just said, Berkman on color tonight. Slow first inning, but starting to stretch his snark. And then I said, it's undeniable, to be honest. And he goes, just dropped a heavens no. I said, and a dadgummit. Here's his text, shenanigans. And then it said, nooks and crannies. And I said, he's playing a hit.
He did. Yep. He is. It was good. It's good stuff. I love the stories. Keep the stories coming tonight.
Well, you know, it's one of those deals where you guys know it takes a little bit to kind of get your rhythm, and you don't want to, you know, talk over somebody else. And so just trying to figure out where to fit everything in. But I felt like as the game went along, we had a better feel for that. So hopefully tonight will be even smoother.
You did a little baseball talk, too. Like, you got a little technical with – do you find, like, was coaching high school – and I know it's – some people say, well, come on, this is – the guy played college baseball. He played professional baseball. He's won a World Series in high school. But, you know, high school baseball, you're having to be a true teacher. You're really being a teacher, and you really have to get baseball-y with a lot of that. Did that help you with sitting in the booth yesterday? And really, do you look at baseball any differently after being a teacher?
Oh, I think, yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is just learning how to communicate what's happening or what you'd like to see in a way that people can understand that haven't played in the major leagues and that don't have the baseball experience. And so that's what, you know, working with those high school kids at that age, you really learn how to communicate the game in more simplistic terms. And so, yeah, it's very helpful. The other thing, too, is it helps get ready for the people. You know, baseball is one of those games that seemingly moves at a sedate pace. But really, when you're commenting on the action and when things happen, they happen really fast. And so the speed of the game, you know, a lot of times that when you talk to a new manager, that's what they'll say is, man, the game's just really fast, and having to make those decisions ahead of time, you can get into trouble. And honestly, like, I found that last night. It's the same way when you're trying to call a game. You know, the situations develop so quickly that you kind of have to, you know, you have to prepare yourself a little bit and be ready for it in advance. And coaching's that same way. When you're coaching, you really have to know what's going on and try to anticipate things. And so it all kind of plays in. They're all very similar in that way, where the game moves actually pretty fast. And so being a coach for 4 years has helped me with that, kind of get used to the speed of the game.
Hear that, Del? Baseball's fast. Our producer, he hates baseball. He doesn't know anything, though.
Well, baseball's one of the sports. It's like chess, I tell people. Like, if you don't know anything about chess, how the pieces move and, you know, the strategies involved, and if you watch two guys play, it's boring. But if you understand the intricacies, the nuances, all of that, then it's fascinating to watch. And baseball is the exact same way.
Right. I mean, Dell's not smart enough to like baseball.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what he said initially because I fell asleep. See? You'd love this guy.
All right.
Completely smart fest.
Puma, we decided yesterday that Yordan Alvarez for Josh Fields is the greatest trade in Astros history. Bagwell for Larry Anderson is second. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it's a little bit early to be ranking that, but so far the early returns would say that that's probably it's probably a trade that favored the Astros, no doubt.
Yeah, 1833 OPS. Is that any good?
It's pretty salty.
Yeah. I mean, that dude...
Small sample size, but salty. No,
hey, listen, he's got an 1833. That's all I know, okay? That's all. Hey, when everybody gets back, this lineup... I mean, Reddick is going to have to hit last, or Chirinos is going to have, and Yuli seventh. This lineup is going to be as good as there is in baseball.
Well, it's crazy because they have a solid lineup as it is, and they're missing three of their best hitters. So it's scary.
It's very scary what they're able to do, and this is why, you know, you can win with offense as long as you have a lockdown one and two. I mean, we saw it, not like Arizona was this big offensive team, but they had Schilling and obviously Randy Johnson. This is different. This is a monster offensive unit with Justin Verlander and then Gerrit Cole, who's got the potential to lock into a 1A type of spot as well. Do you think, John and I have been a little worried about, you know, the 3-4-5. Wade Miley's been solid so far at home. Where are you with, like, what they should do with starting? You just kind of let it play out and see what you need to see before the trade deadline. How do you handle 3, 4, and 5 when you're looking to win a World Series?
Well, whenever you're the biggest thing is your first two, because in a playoff series you really only need three starters, maybe four in a longer series. But you know, I think when you get to the playoffs, especially in the first round, if you have two dominant guys like the Astros do, then they're in great shape. And of course, in a 7-game series, that's the third starter, sometimes, you know, the fourth starter, they can come into play a little bit. But you're really, again, you know, if you win the two starts from your horses, then you're going to win the series. I mean, or four starts, I should say. So I think the Astros they're in great shape. You know, if you had to nitpick, if you had to say, well, what's a weak spot, maybe down in the rotation. But I like, honestly, like, you know, watching Peacock throw yesterday, I liked what I saw from him as a starter that can give you 6-7 innings and keep you in the ball game without offense. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, he can just give a quality start, which I think he's more than capable of doing. I think he did it last night. You know, I don't think he had his best stuff last night. He was kind of grinding through, but he's got that sort of grinder mentality and you know, gave them a chance to win, and they won the game. So I don't see that there's a glaring weakness in this Astro team anywhere.
How well have you gotten to know AJ at all? I mean, how would you like – this guy is so solid, Poom. How would you like to have played – not that you play – I mean, you played for a really nice guy in Jimmy Williams, but how would you have liked to have played for this guy?
Oh, AJ's great. I mean, we go way, way back to college days when – we just crossed paths, it seems like, a lot over the last 20 or so years. And I just think he's the perfect manager for what the Astros are doing. One, he knows the game. Like, he's solid, understands the psychology. He's got enough old school in him to keep guys on their toes, but he also embraces all the analytics, and he's super smart. Like, he's just, you know, like I say, he's a perfect fit for what the Astros want to do. And I mean, as an example, last night, you know, it's a move that he made where people would just be like, well, you know, no one would even notice it. But when he took Brad out after 90 pitches and one out in the sixth inning and nobody on base, you're like, well, he's only got 90 pitches and there's one out, there's nobody on, we got a lead, you know, why wouldn't he just let this guy keep going? And the answer is he's fixing to go through the lineup for the third time, and you know, I think AJ wanted to get Brad out of there at a point where he could feel good about the start that he had turned in. At that point, he had pitched 6 1/3 and given up 4 runs. And that's not a great start, but it's one that you could certainly live with if you're a starting pitcher. Whereas if he leaves him in there and then all of a sudden they nick him for 2 more runs in that inning, you know, now he's kicking rocks for 4 days until he can get back out there. Mm-hmm. So I mean, just knowing the nuances of the psychology of the game and knowing your players and understanding the situation, not just of that night's game, but sort of in the aggregate, looking at the whole season, I think he does a tremendous job.
Yeah, and Shaw had just hit one that Pujols was jealous of. Two guys,
golly,
right? I mean, that he crushed that one. Holy cow! Up into the last row of the upper deck in right field. That's a long, long way. Puma with us here on ESPN 97.5. So, getting a taste of this, is this something you could do?
Well, the only thing that is preventative is sort of the schedule. So, I'm a professional man of leisure, and I'm not sure I want to get myself, and back into the major league, the rigors of a major league traveling schedule where you're, and I mean, heck, the it's not like there's an opening. I mean, Jeff Blum does an unbelievable job
as a
color guy. So yeah. I'm not trying to, I like to fill in for him here and there, and it's fun for me. And so it's a nice arrangement right now.
We know that now you can't go do any kind of color commentary for any of the teams in the old National League Central, since you slandered all of them yesterday on the broadcast, since all of them and their fans and every city just got obliterated, and all,
right.
And you can't do anything with umpiring anymore.
No.
Since you obliterated umpires and want to take their job with robots.
Yeah, since you compared them to the guy who guesses the weights at the carnival.
Well, that's one of those deals where, am I wrong? No.
No, you're not wrong. Dude.
So if nobody will say it, then I volunteer to, I'll say it. You know what I mean? I'm not on social media, so any kind of blowback, I'm blissfully ignorant of it.
Yeah, but, okay, yeah. Well, first of all, you can't ever go back with the umpires. Since the dude that hit the umpire with the bat, your first question was, well, was it a strike?
Right.
Yeah.
I am not in favor of, I have a hard time with umpires, and so that's and like I told the Astros before I'd agreed to do 6 games, I'm kind of like a middle reliever. You don't want to overexpose me because I am going to say something that will either get the organization in trouble or myself in trouble. So as long as I have limited exposure, right, Hopefully the damage won't be too great.
Yeah, we found that out about me here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But somehow you're still going.
I don't know how.
Teflon John. It's unbelievable, to be honest with you.
I don't know how. Yeah, so, well, after the rigors of a high school schedule, and you couldn't do that anymore because that was too grueling, I'm sure that the major league schedule's out of the question.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering that I did that for 15 years, I mean, it is a rigorous schedule. I mean, those guys are, it's every day for 8 months. So,
yeah. So you looking to get back into coaching or what after you left there?
Yeah, I mean, I love coaching. I mean, I love to teach the game. I like working with kids. But, I like the team atmosphere, and that's the only thing. When you're broadcasting, you don't really feel like you're part of the team, and you're not. It's great to you touch a wide audience in the people that are viewing on television, but in terms of the interpersonal relationship and, really getting to speak into people's lives, you kind of have to be on the field to be able to do that. And that's what I enjoy about coaching. And I would love the opportunity to get back into coaching at some point, preferably either at the college level. I might even, depending on what, pro ball is not out of the question as far as, they have jobs where, like Andy's got with the Yankees, where he goes in and talks to the minor league guys and works with them a little bit, kind of as a roving pitching instructor. So I would love to do something like that if the opportunity were there. But for the time being, it's fun to do these TV games, and it's great to just, kind of enjoy the summer with my daughters, and we'll go from there.
And do nothing. International man of leisure. That's
professional
fun.
Man of leisure.
That's it. That is it. That's Lance Berkman.
He's not international.
No,
he's
just professional.
It's only in Texas.
Texas man of leisure.
Yeah.
If you have to leave Texas, I consider that international. So I guess I'm going to Florida later this month. So
Why would it be international? Why would you do that?
I've got a chance to coach with USA Baseball, their high school development program. We're going down to Florida to Bradenton to they're bringing like 80 of the top high school players down, and they've divided them into a 4-team league, and they're going to play like a 3-week schedule. So I'm one of the coaches involved with that. So that'll be fun.
Oh, nice! That's cool. That's good stuff. Lance Berkman with us on ESPN 97.5. Well, great job last night, man. You did great, and continue. Keep those stories coming. That's a lot of fun. Really enjoyed that, and we'll listen again tonight.
Well, thanks, fellas, and I'm not going to forget where I got my media start with you too.
We'll see on the broadcast tonight if you forget or not.
Yeah.
Because I noticed
we didn't get a mention.
There was nothing.
Nothing.
And then I tweeted something to you at AT&T Sportsnet is censoring my Twitters, apparently, because they didn't mention it about when you faked an injury. Because you had a third, it wasn't the third out, and you had the knee.
Right. Hey, I tell guys all the time, if you don't have a fake injury in your bag of tricks, then you can't play at the major league level.
What about the fake got hit in the head or whatever you did when you made it to first?
Oh, yeah. He laid on the ground in Chicago.
Yeah.
That was a big RBI, and we ended up winning the game, and we ended up making the playoffs by one game. So kudos to me.
I never heard kudos to me. I love the kudos to me.
Oh, my God. I was like a foot away from you laying on the ground sprawled.
How about the one where he told the story about I never heard the no sunglasses. And you're out there.
Yeah, I never heard that.
And then a miracle of God and those clouds part.
It was like the Red Sea parted. I'm not kidding you. It was when I tell you it was cloudy, you could not. I mean, there was no glare whatsoever. Then all of a sudden, the second the guy makes contact, the clouds parted. I mean, it was amazing.
That's Lance Berkman. Hey, more stories tonight. We appreciate it, man. Have fun tonight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There he is. That's Lance Berkman right here on ESPN 97.5.